And so today we're talking about suffering. We told you life was going to be hard. It's the title of this sermon. We're going to begin with 1 Thessalonians 2:14. Reading up to 3 verse 5, it's in the broader context of growth and suffering. So we want to grow, but we experience suffering, we experience setbacks, and how do we keep moving forward? That's what this book is about, the book of Thessalonians, to cause them to continue to increase and grow in faith, hope, and love. So let's listen carefully to God's holy word. For you, brothers and sisters, became imitators of God's churches in Judea, which are in Christ Jesus. You suffered from your own people the same things those churches suffered from the Jews, who killed the Lord Jesus and the prophets and also drove us out. They displease God and are hostile to everyone in their effort to keep us from speaking to the Gentiles so that they may be saved. In this way, they always heap up their sins to the limit. The wrath of God has come upon them at last. But brothers and sisters, when we were orphaned by being separated from you for a short time, in person, not in thought, out of our intense longing, we made every effort to see you, for we wanted to come to you. Certainly I, Paul, did, again and again, but Satan blocked our way. For what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes? Is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory and joy. So, when we could stand it no longer, we thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens. We sent Timothy, who is our brother and co-worker in God's service and spreading the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you in your faith so that no one would be unsettled by these trials. For you know quite well that we are destined for them. In fact, when we were with you, we kept telling you that we would be persecuted. And it turned out that way, as you well know. For this reason, when I could stand it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. I was afraid that in some way the tempter had tempted you, and that our labors might have been in vain. This is God's holy inspired word. So one interesting modern thinker is Jordan Peterson. I've learned a lot from listening to him. He's got a book called 12 Rules for Life that has sold 3 million copies. And what's interesting, though, is he's done a tour throughout the world where he's given two-hour-long academic-style lectures and attracted thousands in each venue to come and hear him. Now, I bring this up just to bring out one point that has stuck with me. And that is what surprised him the most as he went and spoke everywhere. One of the things that he says constantly is that life is going to be hard. Life is going to be full of suffering. There's going to be setbacks. And what surprised him was how encouraged people are to hear that. Everybody just said, thanks, that was so encouraging. It's like, how is that encouraging? Well, I think it's easy for us to think when we experience setbacks and difficulties that we're all alone. That was something unique or particularly terrible is happening to us. As if the gods are against us, we might say. But instead, what it tells us is that this is part of life. This is something we should have to deal with. And that everybody who has made it anywhere or done anything with their lives has had to work through suffering. And so we feel that we're now amidst companions and friends. Now, I think that one reason we have a trouble seeing this is because modern life is so deceptive in this regard. We've solved all sorts of problems that our ancestors for thousands of years have struggled with. We've solved, in many ways, the basic problems of food, shelter, and clothing. Again, not to say that there's nowhere where this is a problem, but the means of bringing it about is there and it continues to increase, and hunger is continued to be reduced, and so on. Modern medicine has solved some of the problems that people dealt with regularly. For example, at the beginning of last century, 1 in 100 women died in childbirth. Today, it's a mere fraction of that. And so we've solved a lot of problems, a lot of physical problems. But what that's left is problems on a higher plane. Modern industrial might and know-how cannot solve our anxiety, cannot solve our loneliness, cannot give us meaning in life. It can't solve death. And so we see that after we've solved some of the basic issues of life, the provisions that we need, there's these bigger issues remain. And so the problem of suffering remains. And all of us face it. All of us struggle with it. And the question we really have in our lives is not whether or not we'll experience suffering, though some of us experience it to greater degrees than others, but what will we do with it? Will we rise to the occasion and let it be an occasion for growth, or will it crush us? Will we move forward, even though it's difficult, or we would try to retreat to a suffering-free bubble? That's really the option for us. And when it comes to our Christian faith, we have additional suffering. There is opposition to all that is good in our Christian faith in this world. And the Bible warns us over and over again, not least in the passage we have before us, that Christians will face opposition. They will face suffering. And so how are we to think about this? How should we process the fact that there's going to be opposition to our faith? Well, the first thing that we need to do is accept its inevitability. We need to accept the fact that that Christianity is going to be hard. That if we are going to live out a Christian life and move forward in our faith, we are going to face opposition and we are going to face resistance. When people come to Christ, we have new Christians, we should tell them right up front, this will be hard. There will be trials. Prepare for battle. Start training. You're going to be punched in the mouth. And that's in essence what the Apostle Paul said to the Thessalonians. In verse 3 of chapter 3, he says, he didn't want any of them to be unsettled by these trials, for you know quite well we are destined for them. It's part of our destiny to go through trials. And he goes and he says, in fact, when we were with you, we kept telling you that we would be persecuted. And it turned out that way, as you well know. So he says, this is not something we just brought up once. We said, this is going to happen, and you better get ready for it. There are two basic difficulties that we face as Christians. One is from outside, one is from within. When we are thinking about challenges from the outside, we have people who will not like what we are doing. When we say to our relatives that we are going to make it a priority to serve the Lord, and they don't have that priority, they're going to urge us to do something different. They are going to say, does it really matter that much? And we'll see, and we have the opportunity to show them in that instance what we believe. And that's what these people experienced. It says in verse 14, he said, you suffered from your own people the same things those churches, the churches in Judea, suffered from the Jews. So it was people who didn't like what they were doing. They were upsetting the apple cart. They were changing society. They were making something a priority that they didn't think should be a priority. And so they faced opposition. But our opposition goes beyond flesh and blood. It also involves spiritual beings. So beyond our sight, there are beings in this world whom we cannot see with our eyes most of the time. And there are those who are good, which we call angels, and there are those who are evil, which we call demons, and there is a Satan, someone who is opposes our faith. And the Apostle Paul, if you read his letters, is acutely aware that he is facing opposition from Satan everywhere, that there's a bigger force of evil in this world than just what human beings bring to the table. And so, as he said, he wanted to find out what had happened to them, because he says, I was afraid that in some way the tempter had tempted you and that our labors might have been in vain. 1 Thessalonians 3:5. But even if we didn't have people who opposed us, and even if we didn't have Satan, we would have enough opposition without it. Opposition from within. Stephen Pressfield is a novelist, and he wrote a little book called The War of Art. And basically what he said, he wrote about what it takes to develop a work of art. And part of it, he says, it's a war. There's a continued resistance, not from outside us, from inside us. And he recounts how every day he had to fight and struggle not to just go to the beach. He lives in California. But instead to sit down at his desk and write. And so he describes that in his book, The War of Art. And the Christian life is much harder. The stakes are much bigger. To continually move forward, we will face opposition from within, from our own, what the Bible calls our flesh, our sinful human nature, the sinful tendencies to seek ourselves and our own and our delight in this world rather than God. And so that's what we're up against. So how do we find encouragement in the midst of the fact in such a discouraging bit of news here? Well, first part, as I've already noted, is that we accept the truth. Like part of being able to deal with reality is accepting that reality is reality. That it really is going to be the way that it seems to be, that it is going to involve suffering. But we also need to see that suffering is a faith builder. It is that which can enable us to grow. It's an occasion for growth. Because many people, as they experience suffering, and I'm sure all of us from time to time, see it as sort of an unmitigated disaster that we have to experience suffering. But this is not the Bible's perspective. The Apostle Paul says elsewhere, we also glory in our sufferings. You hear that? We also glory in our sufferings. You glorying in your suffering today? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right, Heather. That's not usually how we think about it. But that's what the Apostle Paul says. We, you, and me, we glory in it. Why? Because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. James says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. James 1, 2 through 3. And Peter says that we rejoice even in the midst of sufferings, and it says, these have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. So I think that the Bible would have us get to a point, not that we embrace suffering in and of itself because we're masochists, but because we see that through challenge and through difficulty comes opportunity for growth. Almost to the point where when we see things breaking down, that we're actually excited to a degree. That we could say, what is God going to do here? I'd like to get to that point. Can't say I'm 100% there. My wife would say I'm probably not even 25%. But it's a good thought. It's a good aspiration. Because here's what happens. When we say that God is good, and we trust Him, even when it looks like things are not going to turn out well, then we are strengthened in our trust, in our faith. And there is nothing more valuable than our faith. It is of greater worth than gold, as the Apostle Peter says. It is that which opens the door to joy and to peace in our lives. And it is that which provides a foundation for our lives in the midst of suffering, in the midst of trials, in the midst of riots, in the midst of polarization, in the midst of COVID, in the midst of Zoom meetings. We can have a joy that transcends all these things if we have faith. Trials are that which can knock us off our game. And the danger for the Thessalonians is that their faith hadn't been strengthened. They began to show it, they began to act on it, but they were novices. They still really hadn't felt the rattle of their teeth and their mouths as they went into battle. So the question was, are they going to move forward? But the Apostle Paul knew that if they could keep exercising their faith in the midst of it, then they would become strong. If they could say yes to God in the midst of this, they would be stronger. Because the testing produces perseverance. Perseverance is an ability to keep doing the right thing, to keep doing good, even when it gets hard. Even when other things get in the way, even when people don't like it, that we keep doing good. That's perseverance. And that perseverance develops character, develops a pattern to our lives. And as that begins to work it out, then we become complete. So what would they do? There were high stakes. Would they rise to the occasion and exercise their faith? Or would they give up and fall? Would they be seduced by the temptation to take it to conform and to live the easy way in a way that wouldn't challenge anyone? Or would they remain faithful to the Lord even though it hurt? That was the question that the Apostle Paul was concerned about in this passage. But one thing we see from here is that in the midst of our suffering, and as we are seeking to meet the challenge of suffering and even to grow in suffering, we are not without resources. We have the resources of the triune God, the faithful Father, the Son who delivers us from the wrath to come, the Holy Spirit who is working faith in us and strengthening faith. We have a new nature that fights against the old nature, the flesh. And we have the people of God. And that's what's highlighted in this book, is the help of the people of God to help them grow in the midst of suffering. And so if you're struggling today, if you are finding yourself being overwhelmed by where we are, by other events in your life, come to the community. The community is there to help. If you're struggling today and you're here, speak to the community. Tell us what's going on. Let us be a resource for you in the midst of your struggles. Sometimes it's not easy to do that. It sometimes feel like you're too ashamed, or you don't want to bother people, or just it's hard to talk about. You think it's, for whatever reason, not something that should come out. And I've met all kinds of people like that friends, colleagues, church members. But you know, most of the time, as people engage, they find, I'm really glad that I actually shared this with someone. And they also find it's not as scary as they thought. So Paul was concerned about them because he loved them. And one thing he wants to tell them in verse 19, is, as we see have it here, is that he was concerned about them. For what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes? Is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory and joy. And so he wanted them to know that even if he couldn't be there in person, it wasn't because of his lack of care for them. And his letter is evidence for that, right? That he wants to show them that he loves them. And so he's so concerned, though, that even though he can't come himself, he's going to send Timothy to encourage them. Look at 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 2. We sent Timothy, who is our brother and co-worker in God's service in spreading the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you in your faith so that no one would be unsettled by these trials. And so Timothy is there to help them. He's a resource. He's a support in the midst of suffering. And we need to see that we have such. We have Paul's, we have Timothy's, we have Silas's who can help us. We don't have to do it alone. That's the message that this passage has for us. Life is going to be hard. The difficulties of it are opportunities for growth, and we have friends who will help us. But let me conclude here by just kind of speaking to three different groups. You may fit in more than one. But I just want to kind of try to apply this a little more fully to each of these three groups. So the first one is those among us who are experiencing great suffering. So there are some who are experiencing suffering to a much greater degree than the normal run-in-the-mill suffering that we run into every day. And I just want to encourage you in your suffering to see, can you look at it a little bit differently? Can you see it not just as pain, but as an opportunity to develop your faith? Can you see it as the opportunity to follow the example of Christ, who first suffered and then entered into his glory? Can you see it as an opportunity to grow? So I just want to encourage you to be open to that, to reflect on that, to pray about that. No matter how bad it is, no matter how rough it is, and I know it's rough for some of you. But then I want to speak to those who experience, what I might say, the everyday suffering of life. The bumps and bruises we all get as we walk through life. That it never quite works out just right. And I want to encourage you just to take these daily sufferings and not waste them. I want you to look at them as training. I always think, whenever I come to this, I think like most of us here are drivers. And you know, as you get out in the road, it never quite works out exactly how you'd want it to. Like, people do weird things. Someone said to me, yeah, they just do crazy things, random things. Well, that's kind of how life is, right? And we could take those little opportunities, those little, hopefully little inconveniences, and we can learn to respond with trust. We can learn to respond by maintaining our faith that we'll be okay even if it doesn't work out the way we want, even if the traffic is backed up, even if we don't get done all that we want to. And what I would say is like that the goal that we should have is in the midst of these little sufferings, the bumps and the bruises we experience, that we can maintain our trust in God and that we can maintain our respect for people. That we can keep showing respect, that we can keep showing our faith. And so how do you do that? Well, the first thing is, The Apostle Paul says that he didn't want them to be unsettled. He didn't want them to be moved by these trials. Do we make that a goal? To say, for example, this day, I won't be moved by the trials I face. By God's grace, I will get through this, and I'm going to ask him to enable me to respond in trust and respect in every situation. But inevitably, we will not do so. And what do we do with that? Well, when we fail, we should ask ourselves, what's going on there? Why did I not respond with trust? Why did I not respond with respect? And we should reinterpret what has gone on. So, for example, if we don't get the work done that we needed to get done that day, are we going to still entrust our status and our security to God? Or are we going to panic as if it was all up to us? If we have a broken relationship in our life, can we repent of our part and entrust that person to the Lord? Or do we act as if we're in total control of these relationships and let us drive us to continual anxiety? Maybe it's ongoing health problems. Do we view ourselves as abandoned by God? Or do we see ourselves as having to go through this, but yet God will be with us all the way? That's how we begin to reinterpret life's experiences in light of the gospel. And that's what we can do, you know, when we fail or as we think about trials we've experienced. We reinterpret all of life from the Bible, exercising faith in the Lord. But then there's a third thing I said, basically, make it a goal, then reinterpret, but then keep doing it. So, you know, we could easily say, I'll do this for like 5 minutes, and then now I'm not experiencing the joy and peace I deserve, so why worry about it? It's something that takes time. The Christian life, for whatever reason, is something that God has made a lifelong process. And it's one in which we can make progress, but that progress is not always instant. Sometimes he'll give us these big jumps, but a lot of times it's just, you know, working at things day by day, meditating on it, getting it to our heart, repenting, moving forward, praying, seeking the Lord, taking the sacrament, and so on. So keep doing it. So the first group was those suffering a lot, those who are suffering just the normal bumps and bruises of life. But then also I want to challenge one more group, because I also think sometimes we don't suffer in the way that we should. I know that sounds strange, because we withdraw. We pull back. So we try to deal with suffering by insulating ourselves from the shocks of life. And what I want to say is that's not faith. That is living out of anxiety and fear rather than out of the faith that the Lord calls us to. He has not called us to be passive in the face of the problems of the world. He has called us to fill the earth and subdue it, to have dominion over it, to go out into the world with his power, with him, but to get out there, to labor and work. And will it hurt? Yep. But this is part of the process of getting you where you really need to be, which is the place of faith working through love. By getting out there, outside ourselves, we actually find our true self. And that's what God is doing, giving us a stability and foundation and faith so that we can move out into the world and become what he has called us to be, to fulfill our destiny. That's where God is leading us. And so let's lean into it, and we will grow, even in suffering. Amen.